In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at different qualities or characteristics of a life that is pleasing to God, those things that actually bring delight to God. And today we conclude this look at what pleases God with the greatest of these, which is love. Just like the verse talks about faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And what pleases God the most is when we love like his son Jesus loved while he was here on earth. And actually, as Jesus continues to love. When God's people, both individually and collectively as the church, are doing this well, I just imagine what God must think in heaven. And when we do not do this well, how much that must grieve the Spirit of God. In last week's verse I shared from John chapter 13, Jesus told us this plainly in no uncertain terms, that a new command I give you, love one another. And I said that one another is a reciprocal term. It's not a one-way street. It's meant to be a back and forth, a mutuality of giving and receiving love. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And he says how we are to love. Basically, look at me. Look at how I loved. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Not by how smoothly you can articulate your theology. Not even by having proper beliefs about God. You will not be known by how smart you are or how big your portfolio is. God actually doesn't care about the NASDAQ or the Dow. You won't be known by how great or perfect your worship music is or isn't. But we will be known by love. Jesus' own words give us this command. And if it's a command, that means it's not optional. It's not like a part of the buffet that you can just skip over. I prefer broccoli, but not Brussels sprouts. No, love is a required ingredient. I do like Brussels sprouts, by the way, too, when they're cooked properly. Love is the evidence that we truly belong to God. And when we look at the life of Jesus, we see how he showed love to everyone. We see how he sought out people who were overlooked, forgotten, ignored, marginalized, abused, looked down on. Those are the people that Jesus gravitated towards. The broken and brokenhearted, the wounded. Yes, Jesus showed love to everyone, even to those who called him an enemy. He showed love to both his own people and to the foreigner and the stranger. But he took special care to publicly show love toward the broken. He took special care to publicly show care for the hurting and offering forgiveness to the sinful, and by including the outcast in places of honor. It truly is a high bar, but a good model, the best model for us to aim for. For Jesus, love was more than just a cool slogan or something that you put on a coffee mug. No, love was the central matter for the Son of God. And it's the primary reason that you and I are even here today. I know in my life, I'm the product of people who demonstrated love when I needed it the most, who showed up and showed me the nature and character of love when we needed it the most. I was thinking this week, over 15 years ago, that was one of the most clearest examples for me of what the church can be and what God's people can be. that when we came back from overseas suddenly, because Rebecca was so sick, and we flew on September 11th, which is ironically a great day to fly now, because nobody likes to fly on that day. And we flew back to the United States, and we landed at Chicago O'Hare Airport. And who was waiting there? I'm sure I've told the story before, but our pastor showed up when we needed him the most. And they drove us to a home that somebody in their church had that they said, here, take this whole upper floor, rest, be well, eat our food, especially our whole milk, and be well. It was one of the most tangible ways that I remember receiving love. And you might have experienced a measure of love like that at some point in your life. Those types of things, they can be big, or they can be, I think, more often found in all of the little small things of life. So I want to publicly give thanks to Pastor Greg for what he did and how he modeled that all those years ago. Today we're going to look at one story that I think is one of the most or clearest examples of demonstrating the character of love that pleases God. And I knew that I was going to be using this brief story, and then it was so interesting that the Daily Bread that actually just finished up yesterday, that the devotion from Saturday, February 28th, was called The Faith of Friends, and it's from the exact story that I knew I was going to be sharing this morning. The Spirit has a way of doing things like that. If you have a Bible, you can open up to Mark chapter 2. We're just going to look at 5 verses. I'll read the first couple verses, and then I'll read a few more. Mark chapter 2. If, depending on what translation you have, it probably says something like, Jesus forgives and heals a paralyzed man. Let me read verses 1 and 2. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. And when I read that verse, it kind of reminded me of when Jesus was born and they said there was no room in the inn, there's just too many people around. I kind of got those vibes again. And people are crowding around this home. Jesus has come home to his home turf. His name has spread, his reputation. And people are coming because they all want something from Jesus. Some of them may be very tangible things, like they want to physically be healed. Or maybe they have some other kind of ailment. Or maybe they have a desire within them to hear him teach. Or maybe they're just interested in seeing what he might be able to do. Maybe they are looking for a show. There's all these different reasons that people are there that day. And when word spreads, the house fills up and the crowd gathers around the house. And then that's when we actually see love show up. Let me read the next 3 verses. Verse 3 says, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. We'll unpack that a little bit more. But this morning, I just want to highlight 2 things, and I put it on the back of your bulletin. 2 things that I think we can see about the kind of love that God calls us to demonstrate. And the first thing that popped up to me is that we see a love that is willing to bear burdens. Literally, shouldering burdens. The Bible actually talks about this in multiple different places and in different ways. And as I said before, in this case, everybody wanted something from Jesus, including this group of friends who were determined to find a way for their friend who was suffering to have an encounter with Jesus. They were going to do whatever it takes to get their friend to Jesus. Now, what they didn't do was say, thoughts and prayers, bro, we hope you figure it out. We hope that you somehow find your way to Jesus. Maybe you can see him from afar and call out to him. No, they didn't do that. They must have thought amongst themselves, what are we going to do? Our friend, we know, we believe that Jesus can actually do something. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to do whatever it takes. They literally pick him up and they carry him. They literally bear him on their shoulders. And why would they do that? Well, we know that there are friends, but maybe you have friends that you might be willing to do, but maybe you have friends that you're not sure if you would go to that particular length. But for this group of friends, they were exhibiting a kind of love that literally acts to bear one another's burdens, as the Bible talks about. They're demonstrating a love that pleases God because they choose not to stay on the sidelines. They don't remain on the margins. They don't hide unseen in the background. In the book of Galatians, the letter to the church of Galatia, the Apostle Paul said it like this. He said, "Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." Now, this is tricky because sometimes we try to take on things that are not ours to take on. There can be healthy ways of doing this, and there can be unhealthy ways. Sometimes, you know, we feel things so deeply for someone else, but then we take it on ourselves and we can make it about ourselves. So we do have to be careful of what it looks like to bear one another's burdens. Sometimes it looks like coming alongside someone and sitting with them and being with them. And you don't even have to feel like you have to fix the problem, because often that's not what people are looking for. They're looking for someone to come be with them and validate what they're feeling. Maybe that's the way that we bear one another's burdens in certain cases. I think this matters a great deal today. People who need Jesus don't care so much if you have a perfect understanding about God. They don't care or wonder, or maybe they're not even asking, well, what version of the Bible are you reading? That might be something down the road. No, what most people are looking for or wondering or even asking is, do you actually care about me? Do you actually care about me? They're looking for a love that shows up, an embodied love, not an absent love. And I don't remember, or I can't remember exactly who said it like this, but the phrase is, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I don't know who said this, but it sounds pretty good to me. And I think that this is true. When we show up, that's one of the ways that people know that we care. There are so many ways that we can show we care. When someone is suffering, we can be present with them, undistracted with them. That means that sometimes I have to put my phone down or turn it off or put it away. It's hard to be present with someone when you're looking at a screen. Sometimes we just have to listen to someone and acknowledge their pain. People want to be heard and have their experience validated. Sometimes I've used the phrase, a ministry of presence. That might be the most important ministry that you and I have, being present for people in the midst of whatever they're going through. I also thought it would be interesting today for you to share, what are some other examples of ways that you have either shown love and care or received love and care? Anything. Let's come up with a few today. we'll crowdsource our learning together. When someone goes out of their way to take care of you, it's something out of their norm. So when you were having your hip, yeah. You felt loved and cared for.
Very much.
What else?
She shows me all the time. I have bad knees, so she just helps me up and down the curb. That means everything to me.
Helping someone up and down the curb, yeah. When someone's in a boat, yeah, I go to the freezer and get the ice packs, so you don't have to waste steps. I'm the ice cream person. This is the fruit person. The best. Yeah, salt. Yeah, Ezra.
So when Edgewater was giving to the local charities, I reached out and connected to people from Loaves and Fishes because they were supporting their vocational culinary program. And so I was able to volunteer this Monday and help chop onions. Apparently, I was just immune to the onion juices, so I guess I'm the onion guy there. But
so you just show love by being the onion guy.
Yeah, so I'm there, and then the guy chopping potatoes on the same island there, he told me that he's been going through the culinary training program. And so just actually talk to someone and be like, this is someone who's impacted by something that Edgewater's been giving to. So just having that embodied experience of being among people who are affected by that is a lot more impactful than just knowing, like, we sent X number of dollars as the treasurer.
Makes it a little more real.
Yeah.
When you can experience what people are doing or experiencing. Yeah, for sure.
Ask the families and friends that came to visit me while I was in the hospital in mental health. And it wasn't easy to do, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, again, showing up.
Yep.
Especially when it's maybe not someone's norm. Going what we might sometimes think is above and beyond, although I think Jesus would say that's kind of what he would expect of us or want most for us. Yeah.
I think words of encouragement.
Words of encouragement?
With just acknowledging and making you feel seen.
Yeah. Someone acknowledging and making you feel safe, you know, when you feel heard and known, yeah. That's a good one. Other ways that you show love or care or have received. Yeah. Mark. So being a part of a group or a club of people that have gone through similar things or are going through similar things, for sure. You feel like you're not alone. Yeah. Yeah. Burritos are a great way to show that you love and care for someone. I would hazard a guess that a lot of people agree with that. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't have to be these massive things. It's all of those little repeated things of showing up and meeting someone's needs in the moment. When we start to think about it in that terms, and the reason I wanted to do that this morning is it makes it feel a little more doable. Sometimes I'll admit, like when I read what Jesus did and how he was, that sometimes it feels very unobtainable at times. And so we need to be reminded that showing love and showing that you care is something that all of us can do and are called to do. A ministry of presence. Love might look big or small, but it's always personal. And it touches you in the heart. You don't need a particular set of skills like Liam Neeson. You don't need particular training. You don't need a grand title or all the trappings in order to show love. Each of us has the potential to love like Jesus did and does, if our heart is willing to be present and we're able to shoulder the weight for another. It's a kind of love that I think transforms lives, and something that maybe is far too rare in our age. That's the first one, a love willing to bear burdens. The second one, and this is one that if this might break some people's brains, depending on how you roll, a love that is willing to break rules. If you are a natural rule follower, don't freak out, okay? There are plenty of times to follow rules. But a love that is willing to break rules in order to serve or heal or save another. It's kind of crazy when you think about this short story, this short parable in the Bible, when you think about it. They made a hole in someone's roof. I'm pretty sure destruction of property was still a thing then, like it is today. I'm sure that is technically not allowed. Or you certainly wouldn't appreciate if someone did that in your home. But it wasn't just the roof that those four friends made a hole in. They were also breaking social customs of that day. Jesus was already teaching, and one of the things that was kind of one of those understandable things in that culture was once the rabbi gets going, you don't interrupt them. Kind of like if you're sitting in a lecture hall and the professor is giving their talk, their lecture, you wait until they're done and then you can ask questions. That's kind of how people operated with the teachers of that day. And so interrupting the whole proceedings to bring someone right in front of Jesus was definitely out of the norm for sure. These friends broke the rules because their friend was in need. And the interesting thing is that Jesus watches this all happen. And he doesn't skip a beat. It's pretty amazing. These friends, they saw their friend and they knew that he needed the restorative power of Jesus in his life. And they had a choice. We could either get him as close as possible and then let the chips fall where they are, or we go further, acting in faith. And that's what they chose to do. They believed that Jesus would do something, and you can imagine if you were in the crowd watching this, and all of a sudden your eyes are on Jesus, and then you look up and you see a little bit of dirt and straw start to filter down, and you're kind of wondering what's going on. Just like when you're at home and if your house starts to shake and you're like, oh, you instantly know there's an earthquake. In this case, you have no idea what's happening, and then all of a sudden you see this guy lowered down in front of you. I'm sure it was shocking and a little amazing to everybody. And of course, you always have the grumpy people that aren't pleased. In this case, it says the teachers of the law that were there as well. What's amazing is that nobody stopped them. Jesus certainly didn't. He didn't ask, who's going to pay for that? He didn't rebuke them. He didn't question what they were doing or why they were interrupting him. He didn't do any of that. No, it's, in fact, Jesus, he was the one who often broke the rules. Sometimes he did it on purpose, really testing where people's hearts were. When people needed food to eat, he said, go pick the grain, even if it's on the Sabbath. When someone was sick, he physically would touch them, even though that would make you technically unclean. He ate with sinners. He loved the IRS, those hated tax collectors. He touched lepers. Jesus had no time. I don't know that I would say he had no patience, because I'm sure he was infinitely patient. But he had no time for arbitrary rules or restrictions based on customs. And in the case of this story, what did Jesus see? Well, he saw something profound. Verse 5 says, he saw their faith. Their faith. The faith of those friends. And then he turns to the paralyzed man and says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, he hasn't even physically healed him yet, but he's healed him in here. And the interesting thing is that this man, who presumably is still paralyzed at this moment, is amazed by everything that's going on. And so are the authorities that are there. They're not just amazed at what Jesus has said. They're thinking, man, this guy, whoa, he's blaspheming. Only God can forgive sins. Well, Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. He's breaking, quote, the rules just so that they can see who he really is. He didn't see a hole in the roof. What he saw was their faith. He saw an expression of great love for a friend. And if the way to Jesus is blocked or barriers are put up, love will find another way. Love will always find a way. It will do what some people cannot imagine. It will climb over, it will go around, it will tear down the divide in order to reach people with the love of Christ. Jesus sees their faith and he forgives that man's sins. And in that moment, some people got upset right away because of what he did. Don't worry, Jesus will address their misguided way of thinking as well. And I actually am glad that he does that, because he does that for us as well. That when we are misguided, when we are upset by things that happen, when we don't think it's fair that God is showing love for that person, he will correct us and sometimes give us the punishment that we need. The question for you and me today is that in your life, what will it, or what does it look like for you to love someone like Jesus did? There might be some similarities, and maybe it's some of the things that you shared before. What will it look like for you to love someone like those friends did, willing to break rules and go that extra mile and be present? Who is God inviting you to be more present to or present for in this season? What barrier might you be in a position to remove so that somebody can experience the transformative love of Jesus? Some rules are meant to be broken. That's one of the things that Jesus taught us. If you're a rule follower, like I said, it's okay. You don't always have to follow the rules. Now, don't quote me on that. That doesn't mean everything, just in certain cases. As we prepare to go to the table in just a few moments, that's our encouragement: to look to Jesus, to his example at how he loved. We know that he is the one that we have to seek to model our lives after. That's what we want to do as followers of Jesus. Look at how he loved, and I encourage you to continue to seek out practical ways to show people that you love and care so that they might see the love of Christ in you. That's the kind of love that it lifts spirits, like some of the stories that you shared earlier. That's the kind of love that heals and comforts and embraces people and can even change a life through the very presence of Christ. And I think that that's the thing that would please God more than anything, that we could show the love into this world, a world that is sorely in need of it. That's how we come to the table today. I want to take a moment and just briefly pray and give us an opportunity to quiet our hearts and minds, to get in that proper place to receive from the Lord. So will you pray with me? God, will you open our hearts right now? We ask that you would direct us toward anything that is in us right now that is displeasing to you. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask you to make us clean again so that we can receive from you all that you desire to give and share with us. It's truly an honor to come to your table this morning. And so we once again put our trust in you and are open to receive. Father, we give you thanks. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Church, as we prepare to go forth out into the world, receive now the blessing. May God be with you. May he be above you and behind you and beside you. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Be at peace now and forever. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you again.